welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Dream Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune, and before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Chris, you get to start the postseason tonight when you get to host Camden. Is it nice to kind of get back into the playing routine again?
Yeah, it is. And, the bye week was beneficial, I think, in a lot of ways, getting us a little healthy. Some guys, just some late season bumps and bruises and stuff. And I thought we got better. The Helias got better in how we used our bye week. But it's far more exciting preparing for an opponent, knowing that you have a game coming up on Friday night. So we're looking forward to that.
Camden's coming off a win against Rolla. What do you just in general take away from that game?
Well, I thought they played well. I thought Campton played well. I think it's going to be, they're coming up. Obviously, they've kind of played that revenge card. I think they're looking for, payback. And obviously, our first matchup, that was the first time we played in a long time.
Yeah.
And there was some emotion in that. And I didn't think we went down there and played very well, particularly offensively in the first half. But I think you learn. Obviously, in wins and losses, you learn. Hopefully, we can simplify the game plan a little bit, go out and execute a little bit better, particularly on that side of the football. Defense played great, I thought, that entire football game. And I'm sure they have some surprises in store for us, some things.
Yeah.
I think we surprised them a little bit with how much man coverage we were playing against them. I suspect that they'll have, some man-beating routes, some man-beating tags that they're going to try to attack us with. And it's just going to be probably who plays the cleanest game, who makes the best in-game adjustments.
Yeah.
That's going to determine this, the winner of this ball game. We're expecting a really hard-fought physical football game.
One thing I was going to ask you about, this is the third year in a row you played somebody in the regular season and then came back and played them again in districts. How do you prepare for that? Do you expect somebody's going to make big changes since you won the first meeting, or do you just kind of go back and say, all right, they're probably going to try to do the same thing?
Well, at this time of the year, you are who you are, and I don't think any, coach worth their salt is going to make wholesale changes. I think you tweak things about yourself. It's not like you're going to go from a three-front to a four-front team or go from a spread team to a split-back beer team. You don't do things like that, but I think you can learn a lot as you go back through your first matchup, with particularly how they align to certain formations, how they tried to attack us defensively, and we can make adjustments, kind of anticipating their moves. And so it does a little bit – it becomes a little bit anticipatory, all right? What do we anticipate them trying to do differently this time and make sure that we have, answers to those, possible moves that they make and then impart those to your kids throughout practice and hopefully go out and execute well on Friday night.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was a lot. I said Coach Chris Henches. Tom, we've had a nice week off. What'd you do during your week off?
Not a week off. Are you kidding me? No, it was Chris was really – he was happy to get it. I asked him, I said, really, when you – would you rather have the week off or would you rather kind of keep continuing – keep continuing the routine? And he said – this team right now needed a week off.
Okay.
He said, we were a little beat up. We wanted to use the week to get healed up a little bit as best we could. He said, you don't forget how to play football in a week.
Right, right.
So, you lose a little momentum maybe, but I think right now it's he would rather have had the week off, which is what they got, to try to get a little better health-wise.
Yeah. So was it mainly just the health, or were there other things that he maybe mentioned that, they tried to shore up? I mean, it's not like he's probably going to tell you anything that somebody else can exploit, but was there anything that was kind of a nagging concern maybe?
Well, when we talked last week, he said, just kind of went back to fundamentals, just a couple of days, reminder, hey, here's the proper tackling technique offensively.
Right.
Here's what we're trying to do here, and here, and just kind of got refreshed on stuff, maybe that they hadn't really worked on since the start of practice.
Right.
Start of the season. So I think you use that. Plus, they gave them, a couple days off a couple of times. There were multiple days where there was no practice. And, kind of got a little bit of a mental break. Because, you know, up until, you know, last Friday night, they didn't know who they were going to be playing tonight.
Right. And I think that's an excellent point from the standpoint of there are times where the season just starts to take on its own kind of momentum. And you can't stop it even if you want to. Because it's always like, we do this on this day, then we prep for them on this day. And we, you know, we further prep for this on this day. There, you know, there isn't a lot of, like, teaching times. Once you have that kind of, once you hit the season, it's almost like that weekly grind just can kind of get out of control sometimes.
Yeah, you know, kind of, you don't have time to go, hey, you know, you got to remember to wrap up, and you've got to remember, hey, when this happens, we're in this coverage, you know, you've got to do this. And it's just a chance, I think, to go back and refresh a few things heading into, you know, what they hope is going to be a long postseason.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So the postseason starts tonight at 7 o'clock. The Crusaders are 8-1. They're the district number one seed. They'll be taking on the district's number five seed, Camdenton, which brings a record of 6-4 into this matchup. Kind of a little bit of a mini upset last week with, the Lakers being able to beat Rolla 49-20. Did you see that as a surprise? What should we take away from that? And, you know, it was a pretty decisive victory.
I think people remember the podcast last week. I picked Rolla to win only because I didn't want to see another 3-hour game between Wise and Camden.
Right.
But, you know, no, I'm not really surprised. You know, Camden, obviously a quality program. And, yeah, you know, the fifth seed, you know, 4 or 5 seed, that's a coin flip game, I think, most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
And not really surprised Camdenton won, a really good offense, and have kind of, I think, played a little better defense as the season has gone on. You know, they pushed Rockbridge a little bit. You know, Hawaii knows what it's like to play Rockbridge as the season went on. So, it's a good quality program coming to Ray Hedges Stadium.
Yeah. So, to refresh people's memory, these two teams have already met this season. Back in week 4, Hawaii won 38-8, which Tom's already breathing
heavily. I don't
need to
be refreshed.
So, other than it being long, what was your main takeaway from that game?
You know, one was that you go back and look, and I've gone back through the play-by-play and the box score this week just to kind of get refreshed what's going on. Looking back, Camdenton really had their defense and special teams really pinned Hawaii's back.
Okay.
A lot in that first half. You know, Hawaii, I think, led 14-8 at halftime. I know it was 14-8. You know, and Hawaii was starting drives because, you know, the punter, Dernan, who was also the quarterback, was pinning them a couple times back inside the 5 on, like, 50-yard punts, which you just don't see in high school. And,
right.
And like, putting them behind the 8-ball. And in fact, one of those resulted in a safety. And so the second half, the field position got better for Elias.
Okay.
Plus, you know, at the time, Chris after the game said that, you know, we went back and we just simplified some things and that, you know, for the second half offensively, just to kind of try to get something going that we knew would work, not try to get too tricky.
Right.
And it worked. You know, they scored 3 touchdowns in the 3rd quarter and pulled away. They got a field goal in the 4th quarter to make it 38-8. The defense that night, Hawaii's, that was as good a defensive effort. I don't care that they scored 6 points, you know, kicked 2 field goals, that the Hawaii's may have had all year.
Yeah.
They held them to 198 total yards, Camdenton. 16 carries for 31 yards rushing. It was, you know, I know they had a couple shutouts later, but against a quality team, that was as good as they could have played.
Right.
You know, because they had a chance. Camdenton had decent field position a couple times in that first quarter, and they held them to field goals. Or that game gets away from them,
sure.
And then Hawaii is really feeling the pressure.
Right. So I think at this point in the season, from a philosophical standpoint, no one's going to do anything drastically different. You're not going to change who you are at this point. But if I had to ask you, okay, which of these two teams coming in tonight might show off a few more wrinkles or something different than from that first meeting, I would imagine it has to probably be the Lakers rather than the Crusaders, right?
Yeah, that's funny. Go ahead. That's basically the lead to my story.
Okay.
For my preview in today's paper.
Okay.
Go back and read it.
All right.
If you're not. But this is the 3rd year in a row Hawaii has played someone in the regular season and then played him in the districts.
Okay.
You know, and Hawaii is 4-0, going to, you know, one in the regular season, one in districts, going into this one tonight. And I said, did you learn anything from that? You know, and I asked Chris, from what Camdenton might try to do, did everybody else try to do something completely different? And he looked at me and seriously, no coach worth their salt is going to change who they are right now.
Right.
You're not going to turn from a spread team into a wishbone team.
Sure.
You are just going to try to improve who you are.
Right.
You're not going to change everything.
Yeah.
Which was kind of not the point, question. But it was a really good answer.
Sure.
Because you're not going to change it. You know, now, do they expect You know, they fully expect Cam to do different things. I think, you know, not giving away anybody that was there, or Cam filmed the game, I'm sure.
Right.
Hawaii's played a man-to-man in the secondary. I don't know that nobody had done that up to that point,
okay.
And I don't know if anybody had done it since.
Okay.
But, you know, you have to figure Campton is going to try to make adjustments with
right.
the fact that they're, you know, if Hawaii's going to play man, which I think kind of bum-fuzzled them for a while.
Right, right.
I think, is, you know, they're going to do something different to prepare for that.
Yeah.
So then Hawaii's, what does Hawaii's do to what
sure.
make the, you know, that's, it's the small little things that are going to, I think, decide what's going to happen here.
Yeah, it almost sounds like it might be something where maybe an individual player who didn't get accentuated because they weren't ready for that, maybe we'll see somebody else, you know, maybe the number four or five receiver, because they go with five
yeah,
receivers.
They go, yeah, they
those
go.
Those guys might see a little more action maybe tonight because they weren't maybe expecting that last time.
Yeah, you know, they go five. You know, you line up in a little bit of a different formation, and, or you know, you do something. It's like, okay, now we're going to try to maybe hide this guy. Not, you know, hide, but
right.
you know, try to make him a little less obvious here. You know, and what does Elias do defensively?
Sure.
So I think, you know, they go five wide all the time. They like to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Now you go back to the Raleigh game. Actually, Campton ran the ball for more yards than they threw it.
Okay.
Which, you know,
pretty surprising.
A little surprising.
Yeah.
But Chris said, you know, one thing, it was the kind of the defense that Raleigh played kind of gave up quarterback runs.
Okay.
And two, you know, when they're up, you know, two or three scores, obviously you're just going to run the ball and
yeah.
try to get the clock going in the
sure.
second half and get out of there with the win.
Yeah.
But, you know, will they try to run the ball more tonight? Durnan ran the ball a little bit against them. Hawaii was doing a good job of spying him.
Right.
You know, Hawaii was getting pressure on with three pass rushers, and then the linebackers were just standing there going, don't even try it.
Right.
And
right.
so,
right.
you know, he tried every once in a while, and it wouldn't result in a lot. Again, what does Cameron do to adjust that if that's what Hawaii is doing again?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be a little chess match. It'll be fun to watch the first quarter and a half.
Absolutely.
And see who's lining up and who's doing what.
Yeah. And then on the flip side of the ball, when Helias, I mean, offensively, obviously, they played well last time. And so you're looking at it going, and again, they're probably not going to change who they are and what they
yeah.
do. But do you expect maybe another wrinkle from the Camden defense to maybe try to disrupt how things went last time?
No, I don't, because they played, like I said, they played pretty well up until like the third quarter. You know, third quarter when field position kind of got away from them. And Helias, I think Helias is going to try to, I would assume, what happened in that third quarter is going to maybe the way they try to start to kind of keep things simple.
Okay.
Try to just get yards. Don't, you know, we're not throwing 25, 30-yard passes trying to get down the field. We're just going to try to do the basic stuff, try to get out and get a lead.
Right. So I would imagine after having last week off, you know, a lot of the incidental bumps and bruises have probably healed up a little bit. But how's the overall injury front for the Crusaders coming into this game, and how much healthier are they after that extra week of rest?
We'll start with the good news.
Okay.
Stone Hosier, starting lineman, was in concussion protocol all week, last week for practice. Came back to practice this week. He's cleared. He'll be ready to play tonight, and he'll start. Will Kemna, who broke a hand early in the Live for Life game in week 9, has been at practice this week and has done some contact
okay.
with. He will be a game time decision tonight.
Okay.
You know, he's got a cast on it and padded up. You know, I saw him at practice Wednesday. He was out there. You know, Chris basically said, we don't know. We're going to see how he feels after a week of practice, whether he's going to play. If he doesn't, Bryce Allen will start on the offensive line.
Okay.
Bryce has played multiple, you know, he's seen a lot of action this year
okay.
on the line, you know, as they're given rest. So Chris said, we'll be fine with Bryce out there. And, you know, you hate to think about two offensive linemen being out, but
right.
Hosier's back. Bryce Allen's got experience if Kemna doesn't play. And so I think, you know, they'll be okay there.
Okay.
Let's see what else. Alex Marbury getting better.
Okay.
You know, he's not quite back 100%, but he's going to play.
Okay.
So you're going to see him. You know, you're getting one of their skill players really back on the field. You know, a great running back, great return player will be out there and going to give it a go. And I think, you know, I'm not saying they're as healthy as they've been all year, but they are probably as healthy as you could expect them to be right now.
Right. So we'll get to the prediction point for this game in a minute, but it's obviously whoever wins this moves on to the district final, and how it sets up on the other side tonight is you've got 2-seed Capital City playing 3-seed Lebanon. So who do you see maybe having the advantage in that game, and who do you see maybe being the opponent that one of these two teams will face next week?
I don't know. I think it kind of depends on whether Jalen Thomas, is he available for Capital City?
Right.
Will he play? Because I think he's another one of those that it's going to be a game time decision for Capital City. You know, great running back, you know, All-Stater last year. If he's out, that's kind of, you know, then you got to wonder what kind of an offense Capital City is going to run.
Right.
And you know, Lebanon, you know, they're just going to try to run and run and run and run because
right.
that's what they do.
Yeah.
Like, see, I had the picks this week, and in it, I picked Capital City to win because I think what the passing game, I think, between who's got the better passing game between the two of them really could be the what decides it.
Sure.
And I think Capital City's passing game has gotten a whole lot better than it was, well, not even from last year, but from even early this year.
Okay.
So I think that may be the difference.
Right.
But again, it all kind of depends on what, you know, if Thomas plays and how, if he does play, how effective he is.
Yeah.
I think it'd be, you know, if he gets out there and does something, you know, he gives you 50 or 60 yards, it gives him a look.
Right.
I think that is a plus for Capital City.
Absolutely. All right, then, turning back the focus to our game then, who do you see coming out on top? Do the Crusaders get that second win this season against the Lakers?
Like I say, the last 2 years, history shows they do. The game down in Camdenton was odd.
Okay.
You know, there was a lot of, I think there was a more than, you know, there's always a little back and forth.
Sure.
On the field.
Yeah.
You know, but this was kind of obvious that there was back and forth going on.
Right.
And I think that both teams, I think, feel like they're going to have something to prove tonight because they, you know, there were some, I think there were like 26 penalties for more than 200 yards
okay.
called in that game.
Right.
So I think, you know, I think both teams got a little something. I think both teams have a little motivation. I think Helias has got the motivation of we're at home, we're not losing. You know, this is our fourth year in Class 5. We've always at least made it to the district title game. They want to keep that streak going.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be tough to keep Canterton out of the end zone like they did last time.
Okay.
But I picked in the paper, I picked 45-14 Helias.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune. And get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter @TJRackers. Thanks for listening.